Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, and welcome to another broadcast episode of Greater is in You with me, Bishop Lawrence F. Wright. Well, today's broadcast is, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. That is such a true and real statement, and the reason why I can say that with such boldness in my voice is because just because you're saved doesn't mean that now you have become sinless. God, through his mighty power, has taken us from one spiritual state of being an enemy of God. And when we take on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're moved from being an enemy of God to being a son of God. But the sin that we were doing before still remains. And so it's a process, a purging process that God goes through and works in our lives to remove those things. Amen? So this episode, we're going to touch on that, and we're going to cover it all. Amen? Amen. But before we get started, I like to go into prayer like we always do, and then we're going to jump right into the Word. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have given us, all that you have done for us, and all that you will do for us in the future. Heavenly Father, thank you for this broadcast, that I may decrease and that the word that you have in me will come out and increase. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that word not coming back void, and all that hear your word will be blessed and can apply it in their everyday living. In the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, we thank you and we praise your holy name. Amen. 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 And amen. Well, like I said, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. That is such a true statement. That is such a true statement. I can remember years ago when, as a child, I think when God had originally called me, you know how you are originally called? And normally it's when you are a child. I've heard of some instances where people are called later in life, but normally it happens when you're early on in the living of life. And so I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I can remember hearing the preacher preach that you're going to hell, and if you don't do certain things. And I was like, I don't want no parts of hell. I don't want no parts of burning up. I don't want no parts of that. Nothing. And so I went to the altar. I went to the altar and got saved, acknowledged that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior, and that he died for me on the cross, and on the third day he rose again. And now he sits at the right-hand side of the Father. So that was the beginning of the road. But all during that time, sin was still present. And the reason why I can say that, if we turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18, and I hinted to this this scripture early on, yesterday actually, and I started thinking about it when I read this scripture, and I really started to ask God to give me the full understanding of it. I thought about the days back when I was a child going to East Lake United Methodist Church in Atlanta. And that song, Please Be Patient With Me, by Albertina Walker and Reverend James Cleveland, I played at the intro. I remember our choir was singing that song, and they had two soloists. I'm not going to say their name because I didn't get permission to. I tell you what, every time they sung that song, it tore up the church. People falling out and getting the Holy Ghost. And this was a Methodist church. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 18. And Paul says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will confound." We're going to stop right there, and I just want to cover verse 18 just for a hot second. Paul says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." It's foolishness. The Romans used the cross as a humiliating form of execution reserved for the worst of criminals, literally insurrectionists, people that, you know, we hear it, that term insurrection or insurgents in today's terms and rhetoric. Every time we turn on the TV and we hear about ISIS and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and the insurgents and all, the Romans used the cross as a humiliating form of execution reserved for the worst of criminals, which included so in other words, they saw Christ as a insurgentist, while the Greeks believed that the gods operated above the limitations of people and would not have allowed themselves to be treated as Jesus was. Basically, the Jews regarded the cross as a shameful punishment and even a curse from God, which you can find out more about that in Deuteronomy 21 and 23, and I'll read this for you. It says, "His dead body shall not hang on a tree, but certainly you shall bury him on that day. For cursed by God is one that is being hung. So you shall not defile your land that Yahweh, your God, is giving you as an inheritance." That's where they get that from, thinking that it is a curse. It is a shameful act, the Romans do. The Greek do. So when we read this now, we get a better understanding. For the message about the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, because they saw both Romans and the Greeks viewed the cross as humiliating. It was shameful and it was a curse. So how could anything good, such as Christ going to the cross, come out of that? That's what Paul was saying. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being, the key word here is being, And that being is a continuation, it's continual, it's perpetual. Who are being saved, it is the power of God. My Lord. Whoo, that's serious. And with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Amen? Amen.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. You wrap yourself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at its voice, trembles at its voice. How great is our God? Say with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great.
Check him out. You can pull him up on Facebook, Instagram, Google Plus. He's all over the place. But his name is Daywan, young brother that is gifted in song, and he has a great, mighty career ahead of him as a gospel artist. And let's just pray for that young man that he stays the course. Amen. Amen. Well, as I was saying, let's get back to the matter at hand, which is the Word of God. And we've come to realize that God, this is what made God so great. He uses the cross, which is foolishness to those who are perishing. They're already dying in the Romans, as we all are because of the sin nature of man, who are perishing. And they view the cross as foolishness because who would look at the cross as salvation when it is used as a curse and is used for the worst of criminals? But God can do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. And so God is using the foolishness of the cross. But to us, you and I, we are being, perpetually being saved. It is the power of God. For it is written, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 1:19. I will destroy the kingdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will confound. Verse 20, where is the wise person? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of the world? Excuse me. For since, verse 21, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. This is very key. The world, through its own wisdom, through its own eyes of what it perceived of God, did not know God. God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching about Christ going to the cross to save those who believe. Isn't that amazing? So, for indeed the Jews ask for a sign, ask for signs and miracles, and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we, you and I, we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, that causes a stumbling block. What did I just read? Because the Jews look at it as it is a curse. But to the Gentiles, the Romans, it's saying to them it's foolishness because the cross is reserved for the worst of criminals. But to those who are called, you and I, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom, than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Good God Almighty, do you see this? So what God did, or what he has done by way of the cross, was he literally flipped the script, and by way of us preaching Christ crucified, we are saved. We are saved. We are saved, which is absolutely amazing, because the world is perishing, yet they do not want to crucify themselves. Listen. So they perish while we crucify the flesh and live by the Spirit, and yet we will live eternally. Golly, can you believe it? Look at what God has done. That is the power of God. Paul was using this type of rhetoric to mock those who were rising up against his teaching about Christ being crucified. It doesn't make sense for some Corinthians to even consider Paul's preaching as foolish or foolishness, because it was through his preaching that people were brought to Christ and their church was even founded in the first place. Isn't that amazing? So when we look at the how Christ being preached and we're talking about his crucifixion, we come into a great agreement with God that he uses Christ being crucified, which is our saving grace. That is the saving grace. It is absolutely amazing. Amen. Let's go on a little further here, because I want to break down something to you, all right? And what I'm going to break down to you, it breaks it down in such a way that we can see what he's talking about. We can get a much clearer picture, amen? If we go down, let's drop down to verse 26, and we got probably about 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, but I want to get this in because this is so important. Paul then goes into, as he says, "For consider your calling, brothers, that not many were wise according to human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were well-born. But the foolish things of the world God chose in order that he might put to shame the wise. And the weak things of the world God chose in order that he might put to shame the strong. and the insignificant of the world, and the despised God chose, the things that are not, in order that he might abolish the things that are, so that all flesh may boast before God. Amen. Look at that. Look at how God lays it out. I apologize for my dog, Willie. He gets into his little rant and rave. And so we're going to go to a music break, and I'm going to put Willie out. Amen. Amen. Such a true statement as well, because God didn't ask for anything when he did all of this by way of Jesus Christ. He did all this because he loved us. So let's jump right back in this, and I put Willie out. and so now I can complete this message. Amen. Amen. Well, now, so Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, "For consider your calling, brothers, that not many were wise according to human standards." It wasn't a bunch of folks running around as scholars. It wasn't a bunch of folks running around that had college degrees and all that other stuff, okay? So he says, hey, consider your calling, all right? There wasn't very many noble or wealthy men or women that were being called to salvation because they already thought that they were above God. Okay, they were living good. They were the priests too. They weren't thinking about being saved. They thought that they were good. All right. So he says, "For consider your calling, brothers. That not many were wise according to human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were born well off. Foolish things of God he chose in order that he might put to shame the wise." He's going to put to shame that stuff. God, what he did, in essence, was he picked and chose, number one, it says that he chose the despised of the world. Folks like you and me, you and I. Now, there are some people that have come to Christ that have hearts of gold. On the outside, we say, well, they never did this, they never did that. But believe you me, if you came to know Christ Jesus, you realize that your life was worthless in some way, shape, or form, and that you were a sinner in some way, shape, or form. Okay? whether that sin was an outward sin that everyone could see, or it was an inward sin where you were hiding it in the closet. Some way, somehow, you realized that your life was totally insignificant without God in it. And you wanted God in it, so you submitted yourself to Jesus Christ as being your Lord and Savior. Amen? So in some way, shape, or form, you were despised. God chose us, the despised, the thrown away, the discarded, the ones that somebody said he's not, he or she, you or I, are not going to amount to nothing. He chose those people, the things that are not, in order that he might abolish the things that are, so that all flesh may not boast before God, saying, well, I wasn't a sinner. You have a one-legged man in a butt-kicking convention would have a better opportunity of standing before God and boasting than some like you and I. That's what he was saying, so that all flesh may not boast. But for him, or the person you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom to us from God, and look what we get. And the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that it is written, the one who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. That's what this whole thing is about. So when we are boasting in the Lord of, while someone sees us and they say, wow, look how far you've come, we can't brag. There's no bragging to be done, because it wasn't us. It was God that turned our lives around, that shaped and molded us and made us a new being, a new creature in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus. But it was all because we chose to believe such foolishness as a man going to the cross, and that he was buried and arose on the third day, that we are saved from the coming wrath that is going to come. That's powerful. So, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, NFL fans around the world, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share God's word with you and to you on a silver platter. I hope that you got something from it. I hope that and believe that you will be blessed, and may God bless you all the day through. Well, I got to get out of here. It's time for me to go. May God bless you. May he keep you. Be encouraged, and may you continue to be God strong. Peace. With
art in progress. No, I don't always seem to see it. Yes, it does manifest. It's also evidently no one can deny that you're the one working through me so I can be what you call me. Without the faith, I read your word and boldly claim my blessings. And with my whole heart, I will worship you for simply being.